I was recently doing an interview, and invariably I get this question asked me whether I'm speaking publicly or in an interview, and somebody said, is there anybody you have not interviewed in the years that you've been doing Sports Byline? And I immediately answered, I said, yes, Richard Petty, and I'm pleased to have Richard with us tonight. You know the story there, 35-year career in racing, 7 Daytona 500 victories. Richard, good evening. Nice to have you with us for the first time here on Sports Byline.
Good evening. How's everything going? Hey, I got a question.
Go ahead.
It's going to take you 9 years to call me.
You were so busy. I mean, you had something to do every weekend.
Racing round and round. You're right.
Yeah. Richard, take me back to the early days of how you got involved in auto racing. Take me back to those early days. How old were you?
Well, I got involved because my father was involved.
Right.
1949 in Charlotte, North Carolina, the first Winston Cup race that was ever run. At that time, it was called Grand National. And I was like 11 years old and went with my father to the racetrack and turned the car over and tore it all to pieces. But anyhow, that was the beginning of his career and the beginning of my career as a mechanic, working on the car and all that. And, grew up around a race car all my life.
When you take a look back at those early experiences with your dad, what did you come away with more than anything else from that early childhood experience?
Well, you got to figure. We jumped in this 47 Buick or 48, whatever it was, and drove to Charlotte, North Carolina, which was 90 miles down the road. My father run it in the race and tore it all to pieces, and we had fun to get back home. I mean, that's my first racing experience. And that's how much Winston Cup race has changed. They got the big trucks and the big cars and all the people to take the cars to the racetrack and work on them now. And, that was the very first race, and nobody knew what was going on. So I was around Winston Cup racing, and I grew up around Winston Cup racing.
Do you remember, Richie, and Richard, I'm sure you do, the first time you got behind the wheel and actually drove in a race? How old were you?
21 years old.
Okay.
My father wouldn't let me start driving until I was 21. We had a bunch of old cars, and he told me to take one of them and go to the race, and that's what I did. And I had never really been around a racetrack in a race car at speed. I'd been out when it was muddy and, run around and warm the car up or something like that. But as far as just putting on the helmet and going out and see how fast I could go, that's the first time I'd ever been on a racetrack. Didn't have any practice or nothing, when I went to the racetrack. I had to go practice, qualify, and run the race.
Yeah, the dynamic's certainly a lot different now. Is that it is a very polished sport, a very big-time sport. When you go back to those early days of racing, what impressions did you have of the early races that you actually drove in? What do you remember, the wildness of it?
Well, you got to figure, at that particular time, it wasn't that wild because we didn't know any better. we look back on it, and yeah, it was really primitive and wild and crazy for getting in some of them cars that wasn't too safe, but at that time, it was the safest, best, greatest thing going. And, like I told them people, I said, what we're doing now in 10 or 15 years, we'll look back and see how primitive we are now. Right now, we think we're on the cutting edge. We are at this time. 10 or 15 years, we won't be.
Yeah, I know also the tracks have certainly changed a great deal. Those tracks back at that particular time, if I remember correctly, they used to race at night sometimes, and the lights would be on telephone poles. The vision probably not particularly good.
Well, basically, when we first started running, they didn't even know what asphalt was. You know what I mean? Might be on the road getting in there, but everything was dirt. And then over the period of years, it went into to being asphalt racetracks. And then in, 1950, they built Darlington, which was a super speedway. But then it was till 1959 before they started the super speedways. Daytona built in 59. Then I guess Atlanta and Charlotte built in 60. So we started another rotation of growing up. And now every speedway they build for the Winston Cups are a mile, mile and a half, 2 mile racetracks to take care of the speeds and take care of the crowds that we have now.
Richard, did you ever in your wildest dreams think that you would have the career that you had? And what was the breakthrough period for Richard Petty? When did all of a sudden he go from somebody that was just a driver that was having some success to the guy that you became, the driver that you became?
Well, I guess when we started running, all you try to do is get enough money together to get to the next racetrack. And, if you won the race, you get ready for the next race. If you lost the race, you got ready for it because it was a very basic, when you look at it now, it was primitive at that time. Again, we thought it was big time. We ran a bunch of races, won a bunch of races. I guess I'd won championship and everything. And then along came the 67 season. And they run 48 races that year, and we won 27 of them and won 10 in a row. And that was just astronomical to anything that anybody had ever done before. And I guess that's when we started thinking about hitting the big time. I was working with Plymouth at that time, and they had a big press conference in New York City. I mean, you know, here's a Southern sport having a press conference in New York City. So I figured we were starting to arrive. We're still working on being there, but I think that was the first time I said, hey, this is a big time operation.
When you look back on 1967, you analyze the reason for the successes of that great year. What were they?
A lot of luck. You know, we had a good team, had a good car. Everything just went right for us. You know, it's one of those deals where everything you did fell on your side of the ledger. Sometimes you go through years when everything you do, you might run good, but you never finish races. There's always some circumstances beyond control. That year, when in fact I won 10 in a row one time, and at one time I ran a race, a 400-lap race, and I was 12 laps behind and wound up winning the race. I mean, circumstances was that everybody was leading. Every time anybody get the lead, they'd fall out. And those were circumstances beyond our control, and we just happened to hit it at the right time.
There has been
if we knew what we'd done, we'd have done it the next year and the next year and the next year, but we didn't know what we'd done.
Yeah, it's a little bit like golf. You can go out and shoot a round of 65, and you say, well, gee, I ought to be able to go out and do that the next day, and it's not necessarily going to be that way, isn't it?
That's right. You do everything you know. You might do everything right, but it's just the circumstances and timing was everything. We just happened to hit. I was a 27-year-old kid. Had my brother was 25 years old. My crew chief was 27, 28 years old. You know, we've been together since working on my dad's car, and just all of a sudden everything we looked like we was heroes, you know what I mean? And we wasn't doing anything different. We was just winning races, the only thing different.
NASCAR has its roots, of course, into the South, and there's been a love affair between the type of racing that you did and the South. Can you define to any degree what that love affair, how it came about, and why it's been able to flourish as much as it has, Richard?
Well, you know, the way I look at it and the way I perceive it, stock car racing got started in 1949. Okay, this was right after World War II. A lot of these boys in the South had been out to see the world and never been out before. They came back and they wanted something going on. Well, there was no such thing in the South as a professional football, a professional baseball, or professional basketball. So cars were the thing because of very rural areas, and everybody had a love for a car. So when somebody said, let's go racing, it was just an automatic deal. They tried running midgets down in this part of the country. They tried running sprint cars, Indy cars. They didn't go. The people had the love affair for a Ford or a Chevrolet or Pontiac or Plymouth or whatever it was they was driving, and they could relate to the people on the racetrack. They could relate to the cars. And, you know, when Winston Cup Racing first got started, there wasn't any stars. The cars were the stars. The cars are what really brought the people in. And then over a period of time now, you know, you've got actual what we call heroes or whatever you want to call them in the sport that most anybody in racing knows and understands. So I don't think the car is as important now as what it used to be, but you still get a lot of people that are Ford fans or GM fans or Chrysler fans.
Was there also kind of a mystique about it? I mean, they used to moonshine down in that part of the country, and I always heard about guys that would moonshine and then carry the moonshine in pretty souped-up cars, and that was kind of a little bit of the whole mystique of auto racing and stock car racing as well. Was there anything to that?
Well, if you want to go back to the early days right after World War II when they started running the modifieds and stuff down here, yeah, you could say that it was bred from that particular incident. A lot of the boys that worked on the cars, a lot of them that drove them, a lot of them that owned it, didn't know what illegal liquor was, you know what I mean? And some of them had worked with it or around it, and when they got the the opportunity to get away from it than to get in racing, then, you know, they just dropped that profession and went into another profession.
Hold on just a second. Richard Petty has joined us, and you give me a little bit longer with Richard. We're talking about NASCAR and racing. Check the numbers on our scoreboard as we continue across the country and around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network and the Internet. We've got you on Sports Byline.